So as Craig mentioned, my name is Vian. My wife Tasha, we have a little boy who's he's by Oma in Wellington. 1.5 years old. So yeah, he keeps us very busy. But we love him so much. My story, believe it or not, you guys probably, most of you don't know me at all, but believe it or not, I kind of have a soft spot for Grabo and the congregation. So more or less 5 years ago, I visited here for the first time, the congregation, and ever since then, a year later, I actually came again to, we had a small worship team that came through. We were still in the previous school hall, yeah. And Grabo really, there was really a soft spot that developed, and ever since I always said we should go back, we should go back. And when Craig connected with me, it was obviously the Lord that set up that connection. And just to hear that he's also, you guys at that time, as you mentioned, were just actually for temporarily in Grabo, I think, or completely cool. Yeah, there was no talk of Grabo even. Yeah, but as time went and they eventually joined with the Grabo congregation, it just felt like, This is from the Lord, and it was we became so excited to just feel like we can join again, and even as the reelings I gaan hom switch, cool. As in case of emergency, as the plannings were made. The hosting names were sent out, even just to see Mark and Bridget. I remember meeting Mark the second time I was here, and just hearing what the Lord, how the Lord brought him into the congregation, and how Willem, pursued him. It's such a cool testimony, and even just to be here is really, I think it just testifies of the heart of the Lord to bring us together, and to join your church, it's really a blessing and really a joy. I know it's so nice to say, it's nice to be here this morning, and so, but it's really, it comes with you guys have a soft spot, and it's really a joy to be here. So this morning, I really, the heart is just to blow some wind in the sails of the Grabo congregation. I come with what I want to call like a Mary preach, and what that is really just a preach that or message that would look help us to look to Jesus, help us to look to God, what He did, and really just behold Him. And obviously, I mentioned Mary, so Martha is always gets a bit of stick always because, Jesus called her out and whatever. But I think we need that balance, eh? We need the Mary. We need to be a Mary at times, beholding Jesus and seeing what He's done for us. And we need to be a Martha at times, serving, walking in the good works that the Lord has prepared for us, So there needs to be a balance. And just this morning, maybe returning a bit to the why, why are we doing this? Why are we running? Because we want to run for the Lord. We need to run for the Lord. And I hope it'll be, a preach that can, make us look to Jesus and worship Him even more. So let's pray. Lord, even as this morning feels, just. So, like, you planned this, Father. We lay it in your hands. We give it up to you. We thank you for this morning, and we ask, Father, that through this message, that you would really open the eyes of our hearts again. Lord, we want to see you. We need to see you, Lord. In a world that is so consuming at times, Father, we need to break through all of just the surrounding things that clouds and almost blinds us from the truth. And we pray that you would break through that this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, so the word that I'm going to bring this morning is mainly from a few chapters in Ephesians. So you can, if you have your Bibles here, you can maybe open there so long. You can open at Ephesians 1. I'm going to read from verse 3 to 14 first, and it's quite a large portion. But I'll try and go through it slowly, and I want to encourage us to really like quiet our thoughts. And let's almost drink these words in, because it's really such a, and almost allow it to satisfy us, actually, because it's such a great portion of truth, actually. So, if you want to read along, if you want to close your eyes even, you're more than welcome to. So, from verse 3 to 14, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth, in him. And in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. And in him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." Wow, that is a mouthful. I think I need to drink some water after that. So the name of my message this morning, I also want to mention is from the heart to the head. So I'll just leave that there for now. But a few things to take from this passage that we just read. It says we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, this morning, I don't know how blessed you feel. Maybe you don't feel financially blessed. Maybe you don't feel you've been blessed with a good job, or maybe you feel you haven't been blessed with a good family. Whatever it may be, that you feel that I'm not that blessed. Paul makes this fascinating statement that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And it's funny that he doesn't use the word many. He uses the word every, which sounds like all of them. So like, Vian, what blessing do you want? I want all of them. And God is like, done, So, bless you. Spiritual blessing. Come on, let's go. So some of you are thinking, okay, Vian. So I'm getting a Ferrari in heaven. That's it. Well, let's look at these spiritual blessings. What are they? Well, it goes on to actually speak of them. It says, for starters, we've been chosen before the foundations of the world. Chosen to play for the Springboks. No, to be holy and blameless before Him. Holy and blameless. This is the very thing that was taken away from Adam and Eve when they sinned in the garden, forcing them to hide and feel the need to cover their nakedness. And yet even before this happened, before Adam and Eve, God chose us to be so that we could be holy and blameless before Him. Predestined for adoption as sons and daughters. Believe it or not, this was once a foreign concept, eh? We sing of being a child of God, and it's common knowledge almost, but this is actually an incredible truth that we can hold on to. You know, that God, the creator of the universe, He calls us, each one of us, He calls sons and daughters. And that always obviously comes, as we later see, it comes with inheritance, as it speaks of in that passage. Redemption and forgiveness by His blood. It says in the Psalms, it says, Lord, if You were to count my sins and my iniquities, who could stand? But with Him there is forgiveness, there is redemption, there is grace. It speaks of hope. It speaks of unity with all things. Us as His people being unified, and then being unified with Him as well. It speaks of a lavishing of grace. And for the Afrikaners, ek is een van julle, I had to go and just check what lavishing or lavish actually means. And it means spending, giving, or using a very large amount of something, often more than is truly needed. That's the definition I got from Google. I want to look at a second passage in Ephesians. This one comes from Ephesians 2. It's from verse 2 to verse 10. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us, in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now these passages obviously tells us a lot of what we receive in Christ and how we have been blessed, but it also we also clearly see something of quite a lot of God and who through these blessings and who He is in any of these scriptures. Does it ever look like there's an external factor forcing God's hand, forcing Him to do this? No. If anything, it's the internal things. It's his very attributes. It's his great love. His being rich in mercy. His glorious grace. His immeasurable kindness. And these are the words that Paul uses. It's not my words. I'm not trying to blow this up. It's Paul. He uses these words to explain these attributes of God. And I'm reading this and I almost feel like it's like a father that's overspending, you know, like a dad who keeps throwing toys in the trolley. Sorry. You know? Toys are us. I remember when I was little, that was like my favorite place to be, you know. And imagine a dad that keeps throwing in the toys. I can't say that. Wow. Die speelgoed, you know. You almost think like, is this part of the budget, you know? Can we afford all of this? But we saw, as we saw earlier, this was the plan before the foundation of the world. This was God's predestined plan. Was to lavish. Now, who feels blessed? Huh? Who feels stirred up with the truth? Who feels ready to run harder for God? And yet, as we read about these blessings, as we see who God is, there might be some of us this morning who feels, I hear you. I hear this good news, but it just doesn't land, you know, for some reason. And it might be familiarity. It might be hurt or offense. It might be idolatry. Whatever the reason might be, that these things aren't necessarily moving your heart, I want to tell you, it's okay. It's not necessarily okay to stay there. No, we need to be at a better place. But the fact that we might feel like this, I want to say it's not a new thing. I want to say even Paul knew that we might feel like this. And I know this, and I say this because Paul prays for the Ephesians church. And the type of prayer that he prays is, and the type of language he uses is something that we actually see in the other books, and the other letters he writes for the other churches as well. And the first prayer goes like this. It's in Ephesians 1 from 15 to 19. It goes like this. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. Paul knew. He knew that although he had just shared about all these eternal blessings and being chosen and reconciled to this amazing God that loved us while we were still enemies. He knew the Ephesians, like us, were still in the world. Maybe not of it, but they were still in it. And as long as they were in it, there was a chance that they could be blinded by it. Because the world will either bring you in largely at two places. It's going to bring you at a place where you say, where you think, who needs eternal blessings? I can live my best life now. Or it's going to bring you at a place where you say, my life is so bad, it's so full of hurt, how can I possibly imagine or believe in these blessings that you speak about? He knew he needed to pray for a deeper revelation, one that does not filter through the eyes, then the mind, and then the heart. No, one that goes straight to the heart and then to the head, the way they thought, renewing their minds, and the way they see the world differently, the way they act, the way they love differently. The second prayer in Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 19. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So my message, I hope, is short but sweet. And Andrea, if you can tokkelie die klavier vir ons. I want to say this morning, Grabo family, I want to say we spent some time with some of the leaders yesterday, our group from Wellington, and just to hear them speak the love that they have for these people and this church, and the testimonies that came out, I want to say that we have heard of your faith in the Lord, and we have heard of your love towards all the saints. Grabo, we have heard of these things. And this morning we want to pray and trust for a strengthening of your inner being, that God would open the eyes of your hearts for his glory and for his name's sake. Yeah. All right. So